Now, here's a question, because it's about basically how we think about our work lives. Very changed drastically, dramatically over the years. The idea of one job for life pretty much gone. So if you're considering a career change, it can be pretty daunting, it can be pretty stressful, and you've got to take a lot of things into consideration. Sometimes, though, you just feel you really need to get a different job. So career and coaching psychologist Sinead Brady is here with me now to talk about how to make the leap from one job to another. So how do you make the leap from one job? No, so listen, 51552 is the text if you have any questions for Sinead. Look, one of the things I said there, it is true, isn't it? This idea of having one job for life, it's more or less genuinely right across the board a thing of the past.
It really is, Dave. And even if you happen to stay in the one organisation for all of your career, the likelihood that you'll be doing the same job for all of that time in that organisation is dramatically and vastly changed. So what we're looking at now, like the World Economic Forum just released some statistics quite recently, and a child that started school in 2016, 50% of them would be working in jobs that haven't yet been created.
Wow.
So that's huge.
Really?
Yeah, 50% of them. And not alone do we not know what the names of those jobs are, we don't even know the skills they're going to need to do those jobs. So I have three little girls. I have a 6-year-old, I have a 5-year-old and a 16-week-old. And each of those three girls are going to work in jobs that haven't yet been created.
Has the curriculum changed to go along with this?
See, so that's a brilliant question. The curriculum is changing, but we need to think about so much more than the curriculum. So, for example, if we think about shutting down from work and switching off from work and having time off when you get home in the evening, we need to start teaching that in schools, Dave. Because if you look at the school's setup, from they go into junior infants, you go to school, you do your day's work in school, you leave school and you have to go home to do homework. Yeah. So we're not taught how to shut down. So it's really kind of, we have to begin to think about education in a whole different way. And we have to begin to teach children lots of different things through education. But I suppose if you're looking for a career change, or if you're thinking about a career change, the most important thing to do is to think about skills and not necessarily to think about jobs. And that might sound a little counterintuitive, but really you have to have the right skills for the jobs that are in place at the moment. So do kind of I call it a career selfie. So sit down and think about where you are in your career at the moment, what you've achieved, what you've done today.
You're talking to somebody in a job at the moment, not necessarily coming towards the end of school or something.
If somebody's coming towards the end of school, they have to do the same type of thing. Yeah. Okay. So it's not that dissimilar. So if you're coming towards the end of school, I suppose that's quite pertinent at the moment with the Leaving Cert actually happening. And the CAO. But if you're coming towards the end of school, really what you're looking at is you're picking something that will give you the broadest opportunity when you leave education.
Okay, well, let's give us a list of some sort then. I mean, like, there's a couple of warning signs that you see that indicate that it might be time to start looking for a new job. Give us five ideas.
Yeah, so for example, you don't feel a sense of accomplishment in the role that you're in anymore. You know, you're going to work and you're packing in the time, but you don't feel like you've been stretched. You could be suffering from kind of rust out. You're actually so bored in the work that you're doing, you could do it with your eyes closed. You're more inclined to take sick days. So you're kind of sitting there and you're going, you know what, actually, I don't feel like I can just work today. And there's no motivation for you to go in there. You just ring in sick. Or at least you're a lot more lax about ringing in sick than you would have been kind of in the early part of your career, perhaps. You're really in it for the money. Yeah. So it's the paycheck. Like, it's a complete trade-off. Money for time, end of story. And and one of the telltale signs actually for this is if you're spending peaks on a Thursday evening. Yeah, so it's the Thursday treat. Right. It's like the nice glass of wine or the bottle of wine or the takeout or whatever, and you're going, it's a treat because it's nearly Friday and I just can't wait for this week to be over. And actually, online retailers have a peak spending on Thursday evenings and Sunday nights. Yeah. And it's put down to the kind of that feeling of not wanting either the treat for the work because you have to go in on Friday or to go back on Monday. You've been bullied or harassed, and that's a really big one. And that's a slightly different issue around just a job change. Or you hate your work environment. I mean, you just don't actually like the people you work with. You don't like the environment that you're doing your work in. So they're really key signs.
Well, as a career and coaching psychologist, we are talking to Sinead Brady, 51552, by the way, is our text. Do you come across that a lot? Is there more bullying or harassment or whatever than I might imagine?
Yes, there is. And I think it's something that that really needs to have a big conversation around, because people are afraid to call it out very often, particularly if it's something that's happening with a superior within an organisation. And if there's no HR, you know, because not every business has a HR and you can't go to HR. So bullying and harassment is there. This, I don't have the figures on it as we speak, but I know that there is stress, workplace stress accounts for about 56% off sick leave from work. But an estimated 60, I don't have the exact figures, percentage accounts for bullying and harassment of that.
Let's get generalised for a second. Generalisation is always a bit dangerous. But anyway, how many jobs do you think will the average person have throughout their lifetime? And I'm not putting a time on that in terms of somebody from 2030 or 2019, just whatever.
Yeah, the average person will have about 12 job changes.
What?
12 job changes, yeah. And if you look at that from a skills perspective, Dave, so like, you're not necessarily saying, like, so you'll probably have gone through 12 changes in your while the title of your job may have remained the same, the skills that you're exercising have changed. So 12 job changes, and what we're looking at now is about 6 career changes. So that's not just changing the title of your job, that's changing your entire profession.
I mean, years ago, like with the bank, of the civil service, my old man was in there for 47 years, came out at whatever age,
So it was linear, and it was very... But now it's very dynamic, and so people are changing jobs quite frequently, but they're also changing careers. So we're typically seeing the first change of career at around between 25 and 28, and people are going back into education. That'd be part-time, full-time.
Right.
But we're also seeing that people kind of mid-career, so kind of that 30, 40 age bracket, are also looking at a career change at that point.
I presume the biggest block is fear, but let me get to that in a second. Hold on, like, do you think a change in career is good for everybody? Does it suit some people better than others?
Absolutely. I mean, some people find they know at 5 what they want to do for the rest of their lives, and that's it. They stay in that job and they're very happy in it, and they build their skill and they become quite niche in that. But that really is the minority as opposed to the majority. The majority of people will have to change their career, whether it's because their job has been made redundant, whether their job has changed in its format.
Yeah.
So the majority of people, so we estimate within the profession that 101 days of upskilling is going to be required by every single person in the workplace by 2020.
What do you mean 101 days?
So you're going to have to engage in some type of learning order to stay relevant in your career.
So the thing you seem to be saying most is like upscaling of skills.
Yes.
Skill,
and embrace the change. Change can be fearful, and yes, as you say, you can feel fear when you're about to go
into... Yeah, like the personality type who's very afraid of change. I mean, is there a place for them now?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's just about... And coping with change is a skill also. So it's about kind of saying, okay, so I've done this so far in my career, I've achieved this so far in my career, and the next step, and never to kind of think about the end game and go, I have so much to do to get there, one small step at a time. So what's the smallest thing you can do this week to improve or to start or to build your skills?
Yeah, but I mean, what about filthy lucre? And don't tell me it doesn't come into the picture. I mean, as you get older and you have a mortgage or a rent to pay or kids to feed, it can be difficult to give up your job even if you don't really like it. Like, what advice do you have for people who feel they're stuck financially in a work situation?
Yeah, and that's a really challenging one. I always say you need a strategy. So change never happens quickly. So you need about 2 years to effect an effective change, and you need a strategy for that 2 years. So I would never be kind of suggest to somebody, you know what it is, you're feeling stuck in your job, hand in your P45 and head for the hills, because ultimately that's bad advice. And if you have a mortgage, there's nothing that will make you feel more stressed than not being able to pay the mortgage or put food on the table. So the really clear advice is, if you are thinking about change, if you feel stuck in a rut, you put time aside per week, every week. And everybody says they're starved for time, but the majority of us spend a couple of hours a week on our phone. So what's more important, feeling stuck in the rut or spending the time on your phone or spending the time upskilling or reskilling? So if you are really serious about a job change or a career change, you feel stuck in a rut, say, okay, for 2 years I have to last this out. And there are plenty of part-time opportunities to reskill for free, actually. So FutureLearn is an amazing online platform that you can get a full degree on if you so wish. And that's futurelearn.com, edX.org, and Springboard, which is an Irish government initiative. And they have courses that are in career areas that are currently in demand and are predicted to be in demand in the future. So you could go on to one of those online from the comfort of your home, do the course, upskill across the course of 2 years, and then you're in a position to make the change or make the transition. And actually, as you're doing the job, as you're doing the course, you begin to network and meet with people who are in those areas. So you could actually have a viable opportunity to make the transition or make the change at the end of the 2 year period.
So don't be afraid to at least check it out.
Check it, and it's risk free. So risk free means you don't actually have to invest money; you just invest your time.
Well, then taking that and what you said earlier on as well, the fascinating fact is the 50% of the jobs that we'll be doing in 2030 or whatever percentage have not yet been created. We don't know what jobs our kids could be doing 20 years from now, do we?
Not really. We know, but we do know that they're going to need a kind of, so the computers are kind of taking over and doing a lot of different things that we would have once done. But that doesn't mean that there's still not a huge place for us as humans in the workplace. Yeah. So it's the people, like, it's about the skills of negotiation, cognitive agility, being able to talk to people. Like, so salespeople, media people, they're all going to be people that are going to need and are going to be required in the future. Engineers that are able to talk about the processes that they're engaged in. So there are still very much career areas that we know people are going to be in, but it's the human skill that's really, really important. So it's been able to talk to people, communicate with people, and take really technical information and bring an intercommunicable conversation.
And by the way, like something you mentioned earlier on, I'm going to turn it around a little bit, is your Thursday night bottle of wine or whatever. What about Thursday night being Friday? In other words, why is the working week five? I mean, like, there's 7 days in the week, right? Why do you have to work five? Four is more than enough, is it not?
I totally agree. And there's a big hangover from Adam Smith, who was the father of the Industrial Revolution.
Yes, indeed. I remember. Yeah. My God almighty, I spent 6 months with him and doing economics in university.
Yeah. And he has had a massive impact. And actually, very, very little of the thinking has moved on from that. Like, we know emphatically from a psychology perspective, the human brain functions when we are working in blocks towards a particular result with adequate time off. So this kind of, you know, Herculean work week where you're working 60, 70 hours, we just shouldn't be doing that. 5 hours a day, actually, that is focused and productive is absolutely enough for any organisation.
Do you think if employers were sat around a table, put down in front of a table, look, you'll still get the same amount of output done as you do in a 5 day week, and I guarantee you, because these people would love to have Friday off. I'd rather be working Monday than have Monday off. I'd rather have from Thursday night to Sunday night, whatever. Okay, but I mean, if you just give them those 3 days off, do you not think like that you get the same amount done? I'd say most employees would go, I'll go for that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So Prudence, which is a New Zealand wills and funds company, they was the largest study done. So they decided that they were going to work a 4 day week, and they were going to do it with their 800 odd staff. And the output was they had increased return on investment off the day off. So their staff actually began to become more productive because they had the time off. Now, Friday wasn't always the day they gave, but you could choose the day you wanted. Yeah. So it was kind of magic, particularly if you were a couple working in a business and you had kids. You could suddenly reduce your work week to 3 days and your childcare to 3 days. So you could have one person off on, say, a Monday, one off on a Friday, and childcare was only Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So they had massive returns, and they've brought it in as part of how they work. So 4 day work weeks. And,
all right, tell me about career non-negotiable.
Oh yeah. So this is something that I fundamentally believe in. So your career non-negotiables kind of come in three different layers. So it's your lifestyle non-negotiables. So are you sleeping? Are you eating? Are you moving? And are you spending time with people that make you smile? Yeah. So they need to happen in everybody's life. And if you're not taking time to eat your lunch, if you're not taking time to see whether it's raining or snowing or sunny outside, and if you're not taking time to actually move, and also if you're not looking around and people are making you smile when you look at them, you really probably have an environmental issue within the organisation that you're working in. And you might need to kind of have a think. It may not be the job you need to change. Yeah. It may actually be...
I make you smile? Go on,
It may actually be the environment that you're in. So you may need to change company. It may be the culture that it doesn't suit you. And then if all that's kind of going pretty well, you might need to look at kind of, what's your commute like to work? So these are your lifestyle non-negotiables. And are you happy with your commute? And how are you using your commute? So for example, maybe you're in a job that you don't like and you want to change career. How are you using your commute? Could you use your hour commute on the Lewis to upskill, to do your course from edX or FutureLearn? Could you use your hour commute on the way home to do something to help you towards that future better self? So what way are you kind of look? And then what skills are you chasing? So professionally, what are the three skills that you really, really, really want to build, and then how are you integrating them into your daily life? So they're your non-negotiables, and they're vitally important for everything.
So the all work-life balance, then, that's the big question, isn't
it? Yeah. So, and I kind of like to think of it more about work-life blend. So because it's not possible, and for somebody like, I never liked maths in school, Dave, and when somebody asked me to balance my work and my life, I get this notion of like an equation or a theory or something, and it's not really possible to do that. But if we can kind of feel successful in both parts of our lives. And we can be 100% at home and 100% at work. That's actually what we're aiming for. And the non-negotiables help you to manage and to do that.
Well, what about Diageo this week? Because they said it's going to be begin offering. Is it 26 weeks of fully paid paternity leave to all male employees starting on July the 1st? Would you recommend that for dads?
I think it is. Research. The Pew Institute just released a piece of research. We've got all this research around mums and babies and how important it is for mums and babies to bond. Yeah. And we know that that's really, really important. But it's equally important for dads. And the research is only starting to come to light about how important those very early days are between dads and their kids. So the Pew Research just put out a piece of research around that. And actually the bond between dad and child is equally as important as the bond between mum and child. So if it's possible to have that bond and it's possible for people to take unpaid leave or take paid leave, and if Diageo are offering paid leave, I would take both arms with that offer to go and take the time and to use it so that you can kind of transition into this new part of your life. And again, Harvard did a piece of research which looked at parents at the end of their life and what was their biggest regret, and the single biggest regret that dads had was that they didn't spend enough time with their children when they were younger. So I think this is a really progressive move, and I think it's something that, you know, if other companies with the same kind of bank balances as Diageo have could offer it, it's a massive movement forward.
You know that in Japan they have this new emperor that they've brought and they took 9 days off and they gave everybody, and a lot of people working, a lot of males, over 50% were scratching their heads saying, sorry, I can't do 9 days off. What am I going to do? I've never had 3 days off, kind of thing, which is really sad in terms of the human condition. So, seriously, Diageo and males, do you think many men will actually take up fully paid paternity leave? I'd say a lot won't.
I think we have a whole social discourse to open around this, Dave, because I think we've just, as we chatted just before we went on air, about it's not that long ago since the marriage bar was in place. So societal expectations...
That was kind of, a woman had to leave the civil service or whatever if she got married.
Correct, right. Yeah.
That was in the 60s or something.
78.
What?
73 or 78, so it's not that long ago.
No,
So we need to kind of really think about what our expectations are of dads and what our expectations are of mums, and we need to open this kind of more permissive conversation that looks at, okay, so what does a dad actually want? So some dads may not want to take up paternity leave, fully paid or otherwise, but equally some mums don't actually want to take up maternity leave, paid or not. Yeah. So I think it's about what is the best thing for that person at that point in time, and if people can take it. And I think leaders need to kind of take a top-down approach and dive in, and kind of if there's some men in senior leadership positions that are able to take this paternity leave, they should be taking it if they want it. And lead by example, because you're not really opening a very big conversation if leaders aren't doing what they want their people to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think there's a permissive how do we think about dads and what are the permissions that we give dads
as a
society?
Well, just some of the things you've been saying there. The average person now changes career 6 times before retiring and changes jobs 12 times before the age of 42. 65% of children in primary school will work in jobs that have not yet been created. It's within this context that you're making decisions. It's true. So Sinead Brady, you've got your work cut out for you and you changed jobs, didn't you?
I did,
you were a barrister or something and now it's career and coaching psychologist.
Yeah, so I moved from the law into psychology and here I am. So so you can find out loads more out about me on Workstyle. So
Workstyle.ie is it?
.ie, yeah, right, that's me. Enough.
And a career to love, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. Both me.
Okay,
so, yeah.
Sinead Brady, a career to love, and Workstyle.ie. Listen, thanks a million, Sinead, for dropping into us on the programme this morning.